The 11th chapter of the book of Hosea. 11th chapter, we'll read the first four verses. When Israel was a child, then I loved him and called my son out of Egypt. As they called them, so they went from them. They sacrificed unto Balaam, burned incense to graven images. I taught Ephraim also to go, taking them by their arms, but they knew not that I healed them. I drew them with cords of a man, with bands of love, and I was to them as they that take off the yoke on their jaws, and I laid meat unto them. Let's pray. Father, again today, we thank you for the precious Bible, the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, for helping us and just blessing this church and its ministries. Thank you so much. Once again today, Lord, we need your power, need your wisdom. This preacher certainly needs you. And I ask you, God, to help us to do the will of God tonight as I preach. Lord, take the word of God, use it in our hearts to help us to be much better than we've ever been for you. Help us to love you more today, Father. Help us understand just how much you loved us. And Lord, because of that, we ought to return that love to you. Now, once again, the will of God be done here at this place. Use us tonight. We'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. If you have been here on our messages on the book of Hosea, you will remember that week after week, chapter after chapter, God dealt with Israel's sin, and is over and over and over and over and over again talking about what they had done, and description just telling completely fully how they'd walked away from God, even to the fact that they forgot their maker, and how they'd went and even in this scripture here talked about they worshiped Baal. It's amazing when you think about it. This is God's people. And they just continually walked away from the Lord. Even in chapter 10, which we kind of finished up, he talked about in verse 14 and 15, therefore shall a tumult arise among thy people, and all thy fortresses shall be spoiled, as Shalman spoiled Beth Abel in the day of battle. The mother was dashed in pieces upon her children. So shall Bethel do unto you because of your great wickedness. In a morning shall the king of Israel utterly be cut off. At the end of chapter 10, he's still talking about how wicked they was and what he was going to have to do to draw them back to him. He was going to have to punish them. And yet in chapter 11, it's interesting to me that he begins chapter 11. He starts that chapter with a verse that says, Israel, I love you. Boy, that's amazing to me. But he said, I loved you when you was a child. See, he goes back and he stops in the midst of all of this and he says, oh, how much I love you. It's amazing, isn't it? The love of God is amazing. We look at not only our own lives, but we look at Christianity as a whole, and we see the great failures that's in it. I'm not talking about Christianity itself, but I'm talking about we who are trying to live the Christian life. There's great failures. And yet we find all through the Bible how much God loves us. It's amazing. I mean, it's just amazing. It's way above human ability. Because our tendency is not to do that. But God's tendency is to love because he is love. That's what he is. And so it's a marvelous thing. So after all of this, after all that we've heard and talked about, he says to his people, he says, when Israel was a child, then I loved him. And I look at this because he's talking to Israel as one of his children, and not just one child, but as a whole, the children of God. And he loved them, and he chose them to be his inheritance. Again, that's amazing. Now, just think about it a minute. He looked down from heaven. He saw this group of people, and he decided that he was going to choose them to be his people, his inheritance. God chose that. God did that. And it's amazing to me. And he speaks to him, like he said here in verse 1, and called my son out of Egypt. He says, they're my son. What an endearing term to say they're my son. You see, just think about it, folks out here that has a son or a daughter, to say they're my son. What an endearing term. That's what God was saying unto Israel. I called my son out of Egypt. And that's what he's saying, because he, by his great, great power, brought them out of captivity, out of bondage, and brought them out of Egypt and give them a land that he had prepared for them. See, this is what God's saying. I brought them out of Egypt. Amen. He loved them. He cared for them. He delivered them. He brought them out of Egypt. And you know what? He's done the same thing for believers today. Do you understand that he chose you? Now, you give some thought to that, and it'll amaze you. Or it does me anyway. I don't know whether it amazes you or not. There may be some folks says, well, I don't doubt that he chose me. But I'm sorry, I can't say that. I know me too well. And it's amazing and a miracle that he would look to me and say, I chose you. Whew, that's amazing. God is good. And to think that he did that, he chose me. And from this standpoint, he not only chose me as a son, but he chose me to preach. It's amazing. It's just amazing. No, you don't understand it because you don't know me. But it's amazing that God chose me to preach the word of God. And I'm amazed at it every day. And he said, also, he brought us out of bondage, just like he did Israel. The bondage of sin. God brought you out of bondage. Amen. And brought you into the kingdom of his dear son. Now that's amazing. And that's a wonderful thing, you see. And he even when he done that, gives us a new nature, his nature. The Holy Spirit to live within us. Now I'm going to tell you, it just gets gooder and gooder all the time when you get to thinking about these things. He is amazing God. And he gave unto me the Holy Spirit to live within me. Why would he do that? Because he loved me. And he loves you. And the Holy Spirit lives within you. And not only that, you know, I bear his name. I'm a son of God. That's amazing. I'm a son of God Almighty. Think about that, folks. I've been made a son through Jesus Christ. It's an amazing thing. And not again, I have access to him anytime I want to go to him. I can just go to him. Heavenly Father, will you bless me? I can do it right here. You can too. Access to the Father who loved us so much. Amen. And then he's given me protection. He's provided us protection. I still believe with all of my heart there's absolutely nothing can happen to this preacher unless God says, okay. He don't speak like this, but okie dokie. That's my daughter. That's how she speaks. My daughter's always saying, okie dokie. Okie dokie. But God says, yeah, well, let's let this trial come upon his life, and it don't come upon my life unless he says so. You understand what I'm saying? Protection. God's promised protection. Not only that, he's promised provision. 65, going on 66 years of age, and he has provided for me. Anybody here want to testify that he didn't provide for you as a child of God? I'm talking about the needs of your life. God provided, gave provision for us, protection and provision, and he even takes the time to train us in the ways of the Lord. He gives us training. If you look at verse 3, I taught Ephraim. I taught him. God teaches us, you see, and disciplines us, thank God. He disciplines us. We may not want that part of it, but it's good for us. We must have the discipline of God. And why is all of this? Why is all this? Because he loved us. I look around at these children. I've told you before, I see these sweet little precious children. And God says, I loved Israel as a child. She was young in infancy when he said he loved her. I see these sweet little children and I just love them. I can't help it. Even when they do things they shouldn't do. I love them. They're precious. Amen. I don't know why some of you people had children that didn't do everything right like Donna and I did. We don't understand that. And you know I'm kidding you. Amen. But you know, in all seriousness, they're precious. And I can see why God says, look back here on Israel. And he saw Israel as a child and said, I loved them. I loved them. I love children. I love little babies. They're precious. They're fun to watch. They make life worth living. No, I'm serious. They do. They're a big part. They're a big part of this preacher's life when I just get to see him, watch him on Sunday morning and enjoy and knowing that they're got an old sin nature in them. Sure they do. And I'm not just talking about little children. I'm talking about young men, young ladies. I love to see them grow on the Lord. Amen. They've all got battles they've got to fight. Yes, they do. All got battles they've got to fight. They're trying to be young men, trying to be young ladies. And it's not an easy thing to step from that little childhood into being a young man and young lady. That's not easy. You understand? But God loved them, and I just want you to know that what he's saying to Israel here is he loved them, and he's also saying to us he loves us. Now, yes, he does. He loves us, you young people. God loves you. It's a great love. Amen? One of the reasons I like on Sunday morning, I like to stand up here and tell these little sweet little children before they go to Sunday school how much Jesus loves them. Because Jesus loves them. Amen. It's a promise of God, you see. So anyway, in verse number 3, you kind of see God as a, I guess you might use the word caregiver. He's over his children. In verse 3, he said, I taught Ephraim also to go, taking them by their arms, but they knew not that I healed them. But here we find that for 40 years in the wilderness, God led them and took care of them and watched over them, took them by their arms. I want you, in fact, go back to the scripture in Deuteronomy, the first chapter of Deuteronomy. It would be worthwhile for us going back there just a moment. Deuteronomy, the first chapter, verse 31. See how God cared for them. In verse 31, chapter 1 of Deuteronomy. And in the wilderness, where thou hast seen how that the Lord thy God bare thee, as a man doth bear his son, in all the way that he went until he came unto this place. Yet in this thing ye did not believe the Lord your God. Do you see what he's saying is all through the wilderness, God bore them, took care of them, led them. He even talks about taking them by their hand. Look over in the book of Jeremiah, the book of Jeremiah a moment, 31st chapter of Jeremiah. Let's look at verse 32. We'll just read it. In Jeremiah 31, verse 32. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand, to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was an husband unto them, saith the Lord. God said when he brought them out of Israel, he just took them by the hand like he would a little child. I see moms and dads all over this church taking their little children by the hand and leading them and guiding them, directing them. That's what God uses the illustration of when he brought his children out of Egypt. He said, I just took them by the hand and led them. Amen. Whether we understand it or not, I doubt very much we do understand all of it, but God takes us by the hand. You may not feel his hand upon you, but he's got you by the hand to lead you and to guide you and to direct you. Did you ever see a child pull away from their mother or daddy and run? Did you ever see a child, yank from his mother and daddy and not want to do what mom and dad says? Well, you see, we can do that to God. But if we'll listen, God's got us by his hand. You understand? Are you here? See, that's the loving father. That's the loving, almost like a nurse that God nurses over us and cares for us and watches over us and takes us by the hand and leads us and guides us. You may not understand all of that because you don't feel his presence or his hand upon you, but that's what he's doing. That's what our God is doing for us, you see. See, and when they wandered away, he brought them back, you see. He brought them back to him. They'd wander away and he'd go and get them and bring them back. And he even says, I healed them, and they knew it not. God said, he's the one that healed them. And they didn't even know it. They didn't know who it was that healed them. God healed their backsliding. You understand? He picks them up when they fall. Have you ever experienced that? Maybe not recognizing it was God, but God picks us up when we fall. Amen. You understand? That's God doing that. You see, that's our wonderful God doing that. And sometimes if we would have a destructive fall, he's got his everlasting arms to catch us. He's there to catch us and lift us up. Oh, he's a wonderful God, folks. Precious, precious God. Then he tells something else that he does, going back to Hosea. In verse number 2, he says, as they called them, so they went from them. When he's talking about calling them, he's talking about raising up the prophets to call them back unto himself. He called them through the prophets. Whether we understand this or not, that's a favor of God, for God to raise up prophets to go to Israel and call Israel back to God. That's a favor of God Almighty. In fact, let's go back just a few moments to the book of Ezekiel. A couple books back there. Ezekiel 33. Because this is God's way of calling Israel back. Now I want you to listen as we read verse 29, verse 29. Then shall they know that I am the Lord when I have laid the land most desolate because of all their abominations which they have committed. Now listen to what he says. Also thou art of man, the children of my people still are talking against thee by the walls and in the doors of the houses, and speak one to another, every one to his brother, saying, come, I pray you, and hear what is the word that cometh forth from the Lord. And they come unto thee as the people cometh. They sit before thee as my people. They hear thy words. Listen to this. But they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, listen to that, but their heart goes after their covetousness. You hear what's happening? Now listen to this next verse. And he says, and lo, thou art unto them as a very lovely song of one that hath a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument. For they hear thy words, but they do them not. And when this cometh to pass, lo, it will come, then shall they know that a prophet hath been among them. You know, it's interesting because God in all of his favor sent forth prophets unto Israel to draw them back to him. And many times they was rejected, the prophets was rejected and sometimes killed. Would not accept the words of the prophet. But it was God's favor in sending a prophet. Do you hear this? Do you know it's God's favor that he sends preachers to preach? I don't know whether you understand it or not. That's between you and God. I'm just telling you, it's his favor that he sends preachers to preach the word of God. No, it's a favor to you that God does that. He raises up preachers all over this land to bring forth messages to their people. It's a favor of God because many times those preachers has to get up and preach messages that will say, let us all return to God. And many, many times that's not wanted, that's not desired. Don't want to hear it. You understand what I'm saying? But it's the favor of God that he sends them. Yes, it is. He calls the sinner back to himself. Come now, let us reason together. Now he's not wanting to sit down with you and negotiate. He's saying, reason with me. Let me show you why you must come to me. Does that over and over. He says to the Christian, he says the life of consecration, of dedication, is your reasonable service. It's no big deal. It's what you should do. So don't think you're big shot because you've done this or that. Pastor Ross, don't think you're big shot because you've preached for 35 plus years. You know, big shot, it was my reasonable duty. Reasonable service. And it's yours also. Amen. So you see, God is constantly raising up prophets, raising up people to preach. Just like I said to you now, it's your reasonable service to serve God. You don't need a pat on the back for it. Serve God. True? Sure. Sinner, come reason with God. Come back to God. Come accept Christ. That's the message. And then he says, and let's go back to Hosea. Hosea, the fourth verse. He talks about how he drew them, and we've already talked about that basically with the cords of man and with bands of love. He does that through prophets and preachers and evangelists and all kinds of men. He draws them with cords of man, but they're with bands of love. The preaching is sent forth so that God's people will know that he loves them. He wants to draw you and I back unto him. It's because he loves us. He wants us to do right. You believe that? Sure. Sure. So in the end of that verse, he says, I was to them as they that take off the yoke on their jaws, and I laid meat unto them. You know, when I was a young boy, I remember vividly when they used to bring the old two horses down and hook them together, yoke them together, and harness them together to plow our garden. I remember that. Down one time, I remember so vividly, I can see it in my eye right now. But there was a place down over the kind of the slope down there where Dad was having plowed up for the monstrous garden that Dad always had. And I mean, it was a monster. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah, amen. And anyway, and I remember these two horses. He had them. It wasn't his. There was a man came and brought these two horses. And they was coming up toward me, plowing a furrow up toward me. And all at once I looked at them, and they looked like the biggest things I'd ever seen in my life. I'd been sitting there watching them, but they was coming exactly straight at me. And this young fellow at that time could run, and he did. I got out of the way. I run to the other side and stood over there and watched those big monstrous horses, because, I mean, they're monsters. I remember that. Hooked together, harnessed together. What he's saying here in verse number 4 is, he says, when they take them down to eat and they've got done and they're working, he said, they take those harnesses and those yokes off of them so they can enjoy eating some of the oats that's going to be given them after their hard work. And then they're turned out to some pasture around there, and they don't do that with the harnesses on them or the yokes upon them. They turn them loose. God says in verse 4, he says, I was to them as they that take off the yoke, off past their jaws, took off their yoke so that they could, and I laid meat unto them in comfort. And he said to Israel, that's what I done to you. I took off the yoke of bondage off of you so that you would have comfort and enjoy the land that I have given to you. You remember Jesus said, his yoke is easy. The yoke of this world is not easy. The bondage of sin is not easy. But Jesus' yoke is easy. And God was telling Israel, I took the yoke off of you, give you comfort, and then I fed you so you could enjoy that which I've given you. Have you ever felt God lift the burden, a burden, a specific burden off of you, and it was like the yoke had just been lifted off? I imagine, you know, you've been a Christian very long. I imagine all of you could say that to some degree, where the burden has been just lifted. That's what God said he did to Israel. That's what he does to us. There comes a period of time when the burden gets heavy. Yes, it does. And God sometimes just reaches down and lifts the burden off. Yeah, he does. He just lifts it off. And he says, son, that's enough. You ever been there? That's enough. And God does that. Believe me, he does that. He knows when we've been in the fire too long. He knows to pull us out of the fire when the metal is just hot enough to get rid of the dross. God knows that. And won't pull us out of it, though, until it's hot enough to bring the dross to the top so it can be pulled off. That's why he has the furnace of afflictions. That's why God does that. You say, why does he do it? Because he loves us. There's no other explanation. Because he loves us. You understand? So he said, I lifted the heavy burden down through my life, and I'm sure down through yours. There's been times when it seems like burdens get pretty heavy sometimes. And all at once, God comes along and just kind of lifts it. You know, it's not always that he removes it. Sometimes he does. He removes it. Sometimes he just gets his wonderful, gracious shoulder underneath ours. He just gets it underneath ours and helps us lift it. Understand? Amen. That's called the grace of God. God's wonderful grace. He doesn't always remove it. Sometimes he just gives grace to bear it. That's what God does. Amen? And sometimes he said, you've carried that long enough. And he lifts it. and relieves you of it. You understand what I'm saying? It's what God does. God loved them. God delivered them out of Egypt. God educated them. If you look in verse 3, I taught Ephraim. Folks, whether we understand it or not, we're in school from the day we get saved. I said one time, I don't ever want to go back to school, and I've been in school ever since. God continually keeps us in school, doesn't he? I think I preached a sermon about that not too long back, soul school or something like that. He's always keeps us in school. And also, he healed them, but they didn't even recognize that it was him healing them. God guided them. In verse 4, he said, I drew them with cords of man, with bands of love. God guided them. Did not God deliver us out of the bondage of sin? Did not God educate us and teach us in the ways of the Lord? Did not God heal us? It doesn't have to be physical healing, folks. That can be the healing of backsliding. Have you ever been backslidden? God's brought you back and healed you of that terrible sin of backsliding. God has guided them. Has not God guided you? I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Will not God guide you? Has he not guided you in life? Has he not lifted time and time and time again the burden that so beset us? And has not God fed us?
Amen.
Has not God fed us? Sure he has. Now, what did Israel do? Real quickly, it won't take but a minute or two. What did the people, how did they respond? Well, first of all, they disobeyed the teaching that God had taught them. God taught them, but they disobeyed it. They disobeyed this book, the Word of God. They did not do what they were supposed to do. They did not take the instructions of the Lord and mind what God had taught them. They did not do it. Also, they gave themselves to idolatry. Okay? They gave themselves over to idolatry, the worship of false gods. Amen? And then also they ignored God's kindness when he healed them. They wouldn't even recognize the fact that it was God who did it. And then in verse 7, real quickly, my people are bent to backsliding from me. They continued to backslide. After all that God had done for them. Only thing I can say to us is we just kind of ought to look this situation over and see how we're reacting to the Lord, who has done all of those things for us. Whether we understand it or not, we are highly favored with God. God has highly favored us. He's made us sons of God.
Amen.
And we're most of the times ungrateful. Most of the time, we're ungrateful for what God has done for us. And so what must happen? God must chastise. God must chastise. He won't leave us in the condition of backslidden condition without chastisement. If you're not receiving chastisement, you're not a son of God. No, you're not. The Bible says so. You're not a son of God. If you don't receive chastisement because of your sin, and you can just enjoy sin and no chastisement from it, it's because you're not saved. You're not a child of God. No way. Because if you are a child of God and there's sin in your life, I'll guarantee you, you are and will be chastised. Oh, yes, you will. Amen? So we all have to kind of figure that out. Amen? Where are we at with God? If we're living in sin, there's chastisement there, and we better listen to him. Because like he did with Israel, somewhere along the line, he puts the hammer down. Yeah, he does. He puts the hammer down. But it's better just to serve him, just to love him. Realize what a wonderful God we have. He's a good, gracious God. Let's pray. Father, again today, I thank you for your goodness and your kindness, your grace. Thank you, O God, for what you've done for us. You certainly have loved us beyond measure, and I thank you for that. Once again tonight, Lord, as we go to this time of invitation, it's yours. It's yours to do with as you see fit. We was just here to deliver the message, and Lord, you take it, use it as you would desire to use it. And then, Lord, let us all just be mindful of the goodness of God and that you're speaking to us tonight, you're talking to us, that we're willing then, Lord, to be chastised by the word of God and do what you say. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.